Hello, and welcome to Pen and Paper. I am J.D. Lavelle, your host, your teacher, your guide, your Virgil, if you will. Wait, did I just make a literary reference? To Dante's Inferno? Does this mean that I'm going to be pedantic and annoying? Let's hope not. At least not pedantic. And maybe by now, you might be seriously considering whether or not you are wasting your time when considering taking this course. Again, let's hope not, for both of our sakes. I want to thank you for being right where you are right now, thinking about embarking upon a journey. If you do decide to purchase pen and paper, then I hope that you learn something and have some fun along the way. Before we continue, I would like to share some things with you. My ideas on how you should approach this course. First and foremost, you should understand that many people who start an online course never finish it. I am one of them. I have purchased several courses. For one, I barely made it past the first lesson. For the second, I never even logged into the course materials, ever, not a single time. Granted, I didn't pay much for the courses, so there was very little buyer's remorse on my part, and there was nothing wrong with the courses. They were great. The problem was with me. The reason I never really pursued these courses is that they were both art courses, drawing and painting. And art is not, decidedly not, the medium through which I express myself. I work with words. And I would like you to listen to my words. This course is not about you finishing a certain amount of tasks. This course is about you and your writing. So, if you only listen to the audio lessons and never read the textbooks, but you still glean something from what I have to offer, then this course has not been a waste of your time and money. Granted, I would like you to listen to everything, and especially read everything because it is a course in writing, but I don't want you to feel as though you have to. Maybe you just don't have time. Again, if you learn just one lesson during your time delving into this course and never look at it again, but what you have learned was useful, then it was worth it. Take only what you need from this course. The only badge or certificate that you need are words on the page. Your words. That's it. The only thing that I really want you to worry about with respect to this course is your writing. Now, I would like to tell you a couple of stories about me. The first one is about me as a teacher, and the second is about me as a writer. Hopefully, when you were doing your research about this course and whether or not it was going to be worth your while, you discovered that I used to teach on the inside of a maximum security juvenile correctional facility. Not a boys' school or a boys' home, it was prison. My classroom was filled with the worst juvenile criminal offenders in the state. My students had committed crimes that were beyond my imagination prior to my time spent working inside of a prison, and I was supposed to teach them. Let me tell you a few things about my teaching responsibilities and my students. I was originally hired on to teach English, but upon successful completion of my training for the Department of Corrections, the principal of the school asked if I wanted to teach a GED preparation class. I said yes, without really knowing what I was getting myself into. For many of my students, a high school diploma was out of the question. They didn't have enough high school credits, and they weren't going to earn many while attending school on the inside, and it was highly unlikely that many would be earning any high school credits upon their release from prison. So, what could we offer them? Well, a chance at earning their GED. It was better than nothing, and we all knew that the more education they had under their belts meant that they were less likely to get locked up again. So, I was stuck with a group of juvenile criminal offenders for 3 hours. That's how long the class lasted. 3 hours. That's a long time when you don't like school. When you haven't been going to school. When school is really a struggle. And you've got to sit there and try to get ready for a test that you're probably going to fail. Here is my first story. Imagine a young man who walks into a classroom and finds a seat in the back corner of the room. He sits facing a wall, and he sits there, unmoving, for 3 hours. Think about that for a minute, or better yet, try it. Try sitting in a chair, just sitting and staring, for just 3 minutes. It's tough. Now imagine 3 hours of that. Do you know what that is called? Any idea? It's called crazy. Scary crazy. And that was this young man's nickname, Scary Perry. He scared the living daylights out of everyone in my classroom, including me. Now, admittedly, at the time, it wasn't too difficult to scare me. I was still new, but there were some hardened criminals in that place, and they had been engaged in criminal activities for years prior to landing in my classroom. Some of them were seasoned criminal offenders, and even these young men gave Scary Perry a wide berth, a very wide berth. And just as he was disengaged from reality, everyone made sure not to engage him. He was in my class for months and months. He never did any work at all, and only spoke a few times. Once he approached me with something to say, I made sure to keep a table in between us. He circled around one side, and I made sure to keep moving in the opposite direction, always keeping my distance. I don't think that he noticed my retreat. I don't think that he noticed much of the outside world. Except a few moments prior to our interaction, he'd seen a young man walk past the classroom door. That was the reason for his approach and question. That's what he wanted to talk to me about. "Mr. Lavelle," he said, "that young man that just walked past, he was at my last placement. I know he wants to kill me, so I'm going to have to kill him first." My eyes went wide. He said it as matter-of-factly as if he was telling me about the weather. Fortunately, his tenuous grasp on reality meant that he soon forgot his foe, and no one got hurt. Perry never did take the GED test, but he did get out. And right before he left our facility, he went before the release board. The release board was the final hurdle before getting out. You had to go before a board of senior staff members and talk about your crimes, whatever it was you did to get locked up. And one of the last questions you were asked was this: who made a difference in your life during your stay at the facility? Imagine my surprise when I got an email congratulating me on winning the Making a Difference Award for that week. And guess who stood up before the release board and said my name? Yes, that's right, Scary Perry. And all I could think of was, my God, he really is crazy. Now, let's pause. You may be wondering what this tale from the inside has to do with the course in writing. Much, actually. What I want you to know is that your writing may have an impact on someone, and you may never know it. I never would have guessed that Scary Perry's time in my classroom would have made a difference in his life, but it did. I want you to trust that your writing may do the same. Now it is time for my second story. It's about another young man in my GED preparation class. His name was James. He too had some serious mental health issues, and few, if any, high school credits. His only hope for some sort of education was passing the GED test. But he didn't have the skills or the inclination to do the work to pass the test, and he didn't have a placement, which meant that he was stuck without much hope of leaving the facility. He was placed in my GED prep class because he was too old to work on earning high school credits. It was a lose-lose situation for everyone. So there he sat, in my class, with nothing but time on his hands. He refused to do any work. It didn't matter the subject, science, math, reading, or social studies, he wasn't going to do it. So, what did I do? I could have left him alone. Generally speaking, he didn't bother anyone in class, and the other students pretty much left him alone. What to do? Fortunately, around the time of his arrival in my classroom, I started writing a book that I thought might be of interest to some of the other students, ones that were interested in reading. One morning, James shuffled into the classroom, took his seat, and put his head down. I looked at him and considered my chances of getting any work out of him. Slim to none. Then I thought about that book. It was still unfinished, but it was something. What the hell, I thought. The worst thing that could happen was that he would push the packet aside and go to sleep. "Mr. Ellison," I said, approaching his desk with a packet of paper in hand, "I have something for you. It's the first chapter of a book. I wrote it. Why not take a look? See if you like it." He looked up at me and then down at the packet. He didn't say a word. I turned my attention to the rest of the class and left him to his own devices. To my complete and utter shock and amazement, a few minutes later, James raised his hand and held out the packet. He looked at me and said, "More." I was stunned. James didn't do any work. He didn't read. He did nothing. And yet, there he sat with outstretched hand, asking for more to read. Thankfully, I had several chapters on hand, and I quickly gave him the second chapter. It was difficult not to dance with delight when he devoured the second chapter and again demanded more. One simple word. Yet, that one simple word carried tremendous weight. I kept feeding him chapter after chapter for the rest of the class. Here is the lesson that I want you to take away from this story. You never know who is going to connect with your writing. I never in a million years would have guessed that a young man with so little hope would take such an interest in my words. So, keep writing and don't stop, because somewhere there might be someone who has read one of your stories and thought, "More." There are several different ways to approach this course. Your approach to this course may depend, in part, on where you are with respect to your understanding of the writing process. I want you to think about all of the things that a writer does. What can you do, and where do you struggle? It is important to remember that just as writing is a process, so too is learning. I recommend starting with what is the easiest, listening. Listen first, and then delve into the texts. I would like to share some additional thoughts with you. If you haven't already done so, you are going to need to figure out how you write and what you write. I cannot provide these answers to you. And my last thought is this: do you know what it means to be a writer? When you are a writer, you are a creator of worlds. What worlds will you create, and what do I mean by this? This course is about storytelling. For many of you, this means that you write short stories, novellas, and novels. But you can also write other things, too. Don't just think in terms of writing something that is published digitally or in print. What about a YouTube channel? Maybe a podcast? There are a host of ways to be a writer, to tell stories, to create worlds through words. So don't limit yourself. Much delight can be found in the written word, and much that can be expressed, too. Feelings and emotions distilled into powerful experiences that can only be found on the page. In closing, I would like you to remember that your focus should be on your writing, getting words on the page. There are so many wonderful stories to be told. Why not tell yours? Thank you again for your time. I hope you enjoy this course if you decide to register, but if you don't, then please continue to write, read good books, and work on your craft. Thank you.